Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 1st. Here we are, the first day of September of 2017. You know, when I was looking at my show agenda today, September 1st, I couldn't help but go back a couple of years ago to September 1st, 2016, and September 1st, 2015. And of course, back in September 1st, 2015, that's when the GOP debates were starting. And I have to confess, I had no idea that Donald Trump would be nominated. In fact, I didn't think he would, to be honest with you. September 2016, a year ago, he was the nominee. So was Hillary Clinton. And I had my doubts as to whether or not he could win. I thought he had some very high negatives. So I think the moral of the story is that Donald Trump has a way of somehow beating the polls. I mean, when you look at polls, and you look at data about Donald Trump, he always seems to have a way of somehow beating that. And I think he's proving that many, many times. But it is fascinating to go back to September 1st, 2015, and just look at the agenda on that day. And certainly the idea that Donald Trump would be elected was not something that was, frankly, something that I was giving any consideration to. Just a quick couple of quick notes about September 1st. We're going to say happy birthday to happy number 71 to Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees. Barry, of course, is one of the three brothers who made up the Bee Gees. He was the oldest one. His two other younger brothers have passed away recently, but Barry is 71. He is one of the most successful songwriters of pop music. And in fact, I think he's number two to Paul McCartney and the number of songs that he's written that have made the top 40. So a very successful songwriter, a very successful leader of a group called the Bee Gees. So happy birthday, Barry Gibb. We also say happy birthday, this time number 60, to Gloria Estefan. Now this is, of course, the young woman who started in Miami with the Miami Sound Machine. She and her husband put that band together in the late 70s. In the 1980s, they had a lot of American success or national success, and then they just exploded internationally, I mean, to become one of the biggest international acts in the music world. Of course, she sings in Spanish and English, and I'm sure that had something to do with her success. So happy number 60 to Gloria Estefan. And one quick note, this is for the baseball fans. Happy number 78 to Rico Cardi. Rico Cardi was a great player with the Braves back in the late 60s. He, in fact, in 1970, he was the National League batting champ. He had some great seasons, but also spent a lot of time on the injuries. And one only wonders what he could have been with just a few fewer injuries, because he put together some great numbers, but obviously the injuries probably took about 5 or 6 good years away from him. So Rico Cardi, wherever you are, I hope you're doing quite well. I think he's still in baseball, probably down in the Dominican Republic, maybe scouting or something for a team. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on the front pages. And we have to begin again by saluting the city of Houston, the tremendous work that the volunteers and the official workers are doing down there. I mean, it is just astonishing. The whole country's talking about it. How Houston has come together. In Houston, nobody cares who you are and who you voted for. Nobody cares about that. They just see a person in need and they help them. And it's just been tremendous. I mean, Texas has looked so good to the rest of the country. I talk to people on the phone And they asked me how I'm doing. I said, fine, you know, I'm 300 miles away from the hurricane, so I'm doing okay. And then we started talking about Houston. And everybody's saying, you guys are doing a fantastic job down there. Well, we are. We are. I say we, I mean Texas. I personally, I'm too far away to be involved, although, of course, we've done whatever we can through our church. But it's those folks down there who are rescuing people, who are going into those homes, who are cleaning up, the officers, the volunteers, the firemen, the policemen, the bureaucrats, the different agencies. Everybody is just doing a fabulous job, and they're making Texas very proud of the great work that they're doing in Houston. So there was a terrible tragedy in Houston, absolutely horrible natural disaster, but the people have come together in a way that, wow, it's just it brings tears to your eyes sometimes to see some of the unbelievable rescue, that rescue of that puppy. What an amazing story that is. Well, one of the big things that we're going to be talking about next week in the politics, of course, is going to be President Trump has to make a big decision with respect to DACA, D-A-C-A. This is the so-called Dreamers executive order that President Obama signed in 2014, and then I think it also he did something in 2012. The bottom line is that I have always felt that these Dreamers should be legalized. I think most of them should be legalized. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them, if they meet certain conditions, schools or military service or work, I think they should be given a chance to live legally in the United States. The problem is that President Obama really messed it up when he did an executive order. I have a post coming out on Saturday morning saying that the problem with DACA is President Obama, not the Dreamers. He messed it up with an executive order that he had to know was going to be unconstitutional. How did he know that? Because he spent 5 years telling us that it was unconstitutional. And then all of a sudden one day, he decided to do it. And I thought it was a very cynical performance by President Obama. I think he knew that these kids would eventually be in the position they're in right now, where DACA is expiring, and now President Trump is coming in. My guess is that President Trump is going to keep most of the young men and women who are in DACA. He's going to give them an opportunity to stay there, and then he's going to turn this over to the Congress, where it should be resolved. That's where it should be, in the Congress. And let the Congress come up with a solution. It's not going to be a perfect solution. It's not going to make everybody happy. But I think they'll find some way of legalizing some of them under certain conditions, of course. We're not talking here about unconditional legalization. Some of them will have a chance to stay in the United States. And I'm okay with that. Most of these Dreamers are young men and women in their teenagers or early 20s who were brought to the United States by their parents. And it was their parents who broke the law, not the teenagers. And I've spoken to many of them. And frankly, many of them don't even speak Spanish. They're Americans in the sense they speak English. That's really their first language because they've grown up here. So I think this would be a great move for President Trump to at least maintain the status of some of them and then turn this over to the Congress and say, Congress, do something about this. That's your job. And let's see what happens in Congress. I think they'll get the votes. I think a lot of Republicans will support this because it's a humanitarian thing. Again, these are youngsters. And we're not talking here about millions of people, 10 million people. We're talking at the most, I think it's 800,000. And I just don't see any problem with saying, okay, if you're in school and you're doing well, if you want to go into military service, if you've got a job, you've got a degree or whatever, we're going to give you a chance to be legalized. Doesn't mean citizenship right away. It simply means you're probably going to get some kind of maybe a green card or something so that you can work legally in the United States. And let's move on then to the other big issue, which is the larger number of illegal people who are here, the so-called undocumented or whatever you want to call it. That's more complicated. That's going to take a lot more time. And then, of course, there are the criminals. Well, those are easy. You can deport those fairly quickly. I think there's generally broad support for that. The 10 or 11 million, that's going to take a lot of time because that's going to have to take into account some of the economic impact. But the Dreamers, I have always felt that the Dreamers, frankly, they should be legalized. There's no reason not to do it. We're going to take a little break. We'll we're going to hear from our friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and make sure you go see my friend Carlos on Saturday nights here in downtown Dallas. You know, we've been talking a great deal about North Korea lately, and God only knows what's going to happen there. I mean, that crazy guy in North Korea keep pushing his luck. He sent a missile over Japan the other day, which was not a very smart thing to do. But anyway, I thought there was an interesting story that came out today that I posted over at Babalu having to do with Cuba and North Korea. It turns out that Cuba and North Korea have signed an intelligence sharing agreement. Now, that's not a surprise. Cuba and North Korea have always been allies. They're frankly very similar. Well, North Korea is a lot worse than Cuba, but again, they're basically family dictatorships. They're sort of, you know, remnants, if you will, of the Cold War, but they're very similar states. I mean, they are panicky, and they do whatever it takes to survive, including punishing their own people. But this intelligence sharing agreement becomes into question now a little bit more, because now you have a Cuban embassy in Washington, and now you have Cubans through their spy network in Washington, and it has always concerned me what kind of intelligence a lot of countries like Russia or North Korea or even China may be getting through that Cuban embassy in Washington, D.C. I've always been very concerned about that embassy in Washington, D.C., which is one of the reasons that I didn't want to see an embassy unless there was a regime change in Cuba. So I would keep an eye on North Korea and Cuba. You know, there was this incident recently of those diplomats, American diplomats in Cuba, who apparently were given some kind of a sonic treatment or something, some what they call sonic, some kind of an electric attack or something like that. I'm not 100% familiar with it, but it was bad enough to send many of those people to the doctor. I wouldn't be surprised if North Korea was behind that. I have no evidence, but that's the kind of thing that a crazy government like North Korea would be able to do if it was that close to an American embassy or to American diplomats. So just keep an eye on Cuba and North Korea. We're going to do that as well here on the show. Well, you know, Labor Day, this is Labor Day weekend, and we've got some interesting news about the economy. The good news is that the GDP was revised to 3%, and that's always a great number. 3% is really the number when economic growth becomes real, when it becomes significant. When you're growing at 1.8, 1.5, there's not a heck of a lot you can do. When you're growing at 3%, or you get up to 4, maybe 5, there's a lot you can do. And there's a lot of problems that go away when you're growing at 3, 4, 5%. So that's good news that we seem to be growing again. There does seem to be a little bit more confidence in the American economy. Now, the bad news is that the employment report came out, and the participation rate continues to be bad. Participation rate, of course, is the people who choose to participate in the economy, and that number continues to be bad. So hopefully we can put this economy back together and begin growing and getting people back to work in jobs that maybe can improve their situation right now. So good news and not so good news about the American economy here on Labor Day. Well, I hope you have a great time on Labor Day. I hope you and your family get together and enjoy it on Monday. Labor Day, of course, is also the beginning of the September baseball, when the pennant races get started and we begin to follow our teams a little bit closely. And not too long from now, we're also going to have the NFL getting started. And then here, that means we're going to follow the Cowboys. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be fascinating as we look here at September, as we finish the month of September. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Labor Day. This is Silvio Canto, and we'll talk to you later.